Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, you heard City Power telling us that they're going to be starting load reduction. Lots of you shaking your head saying, yeah, we saw this coming. We knew this was going to happen. Vali Padiyachi, former City Power senior executive on the line with us. Good evening and welcome.
A very good evening, Pamela, to you and your listeners. Many thanks for inviting me to your show. Glad to be back.
Mr. Padiyachi, are people right to be skeptical? Did you see this coming?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by skeptical, but let me give you a professional and a technical view, because this is a technical problem, in my opinion.
Okay, let me tell you what I mean so that you can incorporate it in your response. What I mean is that you knew and you heard many people say, yes, we're going into the elections. We will not be seeing load shedding. As soon as the elections are over, load shedding is going to be coming. This is not load shedding, and it's not load shedding because it's not by Eskom and it's not regulated. It's load reduction. Hence, I ask, are people right to be skeptical?
This is load shedding, Pamela. This is load shedding. Load reduction and load shedding is the same. As engineers, we like to call it load reduction. But load shedding and load reduction is the same. It's not the same as blackouts. Blackouts are different, uncontrolled. But load shedding and load reduction is controlled. And to answer your question,
yes,
this is not new. It was coming from... for many decades. In fact, I go back to my days in City Power,
yes,
in the year 2000 when we were trying to restructure the industry.
Mm-hmm.
The status of the grid, of the municipal grid, not only City Power, the whole country, was in question, and an attempt to restructure the industry at the time through the REDS process,
mm-hmm,
was an attempt to rectify the problem.
But
that
Mr. Padiyachi,
was canned by the government at the time.
Yes, but yes. Mr. B, City Power insists all of today, they've been insisting this is not load shedding. And you're saying, which we suspected, it's no different to load shedding. What do they mean that it's not the same? Maybe explain to us what they're trying to tell us.
Well, let me say, load shedding and load reduction for me is the same, because load, it's localized load shedding or localized load reduction.
Yes.
When you compare to the national load shedding and national load reduction,
mm-hmm,
that we were talking for years.
Yes.
And now that we are improving, we've got plus or minus 75 days of no load shedding or no load reduction, and that can be sustained. And those two terms are as per a standard, the NRS 048 part 9. So let's not harp on the semantics of it. And let's get on to the crux of the matter, Pamela.
So then, is this load reduction, as being called by City Power, being requested by Eskom? In other words, is this an instruction by Eskom to the region, as you said, this is now localized? Or is this the local entity deciding for itself it cannot cope with the demand?
No, it's not requested by Eskom. Eskom, In this context, maintains the national grid,
mm-hmm,
through the National Control Center and the system operator with the cooperation of the municipality. But Eskom is the national system operator. In this case, in a very subtle manner, the national grid is composed of all local grids, all metros, Munich,
yes,
Eskom distribution, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
This grid is under the purview and control of the City Power leadership, City
mm-hmm
Power operation,
mm-hmm,
and it's their duty, it's their mandatory duty, notwithstanding the requirement of the standard, but as engineers, to maintain supply and demand and to maintain the integrity of the grid. So to answer your question, this City Power initiative that has been instituted
mm-hmm
today
mm-hmm
is directly under the control
mm
of the City Power management, but of course it talks to protection of the national grid, because
yeah
the national grid is interlinked with the localized grids.
Yeah.
Pamela.
So how was it that the city was able to maintain and sustain energy supply for as long as they did, and suddenly they aren't able to do that, when the reasons given to us don't seem to have changed from 2 weeks ago to today.
No, no. Every utility, electricity utility, whether it's City Power, City of Cape Town, municipalities, they maintain the grid as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
But there are levels of maintenance and performance. Unfortunately, the performance, let's take the City Power grid, is not at highest level because for two main reasons, Pamela.
Yep.
The first reason is that there have not been significant or reasonable reasonable investment, but not mm-hmm. at the level that's mm-hmm. required. Mm-hmm. And I gave you the one reason, because mm-hmm. of the failed structure. And secondly, the link with Eskom is that the Eskom load shedding since 2008 has exacerbated and accelerated the poor performance of the grid, not only of City Power, mm. but of all the other metros and municipalities. And to give you one important statistic, mm. or two maybe, right? The backlog in the maintenance and the refurbishment of the national grid, including all the municipal grids,
mm-hmm.
Sits around about 80 billion rand. If you add the exacerbation by load shedding, you can double that. So if you add 80 billion rand due to the exacerbation by load shedding, and the other one is backlog and maintenance, you're sitting with a total backlog of the national grid vis-a-vis the municipal grid, and maybe include the Eskom distribution, of 160 billion. And Pamela, the sad news is that
mm-hmm.
the City Power situation is symptomatic, and mm-hmm. it's not been alarmist.
Mm-hmm.
It's been professional. It's symptomatic of a national problem. Other metros and municipalities at different levels are sitting with a similar situation. And unfortunately, the end-use customers are still going to be experiencing outages, not because of the national load shedding. I think we're recovering there. But because of localized load shedding,
mm.
planned load shedding, and forced outages. Because the different grids are not at the level it should be, Pamela.
So the focus, as we've seen with the electricity minister, has been to stabilize the Eskom's national grid and the power plants, essentially. Have we taken too much of our resources there rather than simultaneously maintaining, as you said, the backlog of this infrastructure that's struggling to keep up with the demand as we know it, because we just haven't done enough over the past couple of years to make sure that the local grid keeps up with what's required?
No, you're absolutely correct. I would say that there has been a parallel effort,
okay.
a significant effort, and for good reasons, was exerted on the national imperative. And the national grid also includes the generation assets, not only the wires business. So the important aspect was to preserve, which is critically important, the national grid from collapsing and going into a total blackout. So there was significant effort being put in that direction.
Mm.
The localized grid, there's been less effort put in because, as I say, the significant capital required,
yep.
skills, competencies, and also the Eskom load shedding,
mm-hmm.
which was quite rampant in the last couple of years, but it started from 2008, also, as I said, to repeat,
yeah.
exacerbated the condition of the municipal grids. So it's not new, Pamela. This problem wasn't predicted. In fact, the Minister of Electricity, by recall, about 3-4 weeks ago, predicted that the next major problem is going to be the municipal grids.
Mm.
And he said there will be outages at the municipal level because the municipal grids are compromised. That reality we've got to face. And we've got to address that as a matter of urgency. And it cannot only be fixed by Eskom and the municipality. Mm-hmm. Government has to step in. I said in an mm-hmm. extensive interview
mm-hmm.
last week at one of the TV stations
mm-hmm.
that the current operating model in the municipality, which also impacts the level of revenue you collect
mm-hmm.
and the amount of money you get to invest in infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
is decreased. So this is a macro problem, strategic problem, that needs to be addressed at the highest level. And it must be given the urgency it requires.
May I take a quick break? Because I want to explore this a bit more. Vali Badiachi is a former City Power senior executive, and I'm very happy to take your calls as well. 086-000-0959. If you have any questions, are you starting to understand what's actually happening at the moment? And as I said earlier, you know, I know lots of you have been skeptical. We wanted to have an independent person tell us what's exactly going on. So I think we're starting to get the hang of it. But let me take your calls as well. 086-000-0959. Discussing newly reinstated City Power's load reduction, and my conversation is with Vali Badiachi, who's a former City Power senior executive. And very welcome are your calls on 086-000-0959. You can send voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. Thanks again for staying with us, Mr. Badiachi. You've mentioned something really critical about the local grids and its capacity to hold up, because as we know, you know, people are struggling to pay for their bills, let alone to sustain paying, you know, at the right time. Municipalities keep saying that they cannot afford it. However, we've seen with some municipalities where they haven't been able to even spend some of their budgets. But it says to me, some of them don't even look ahead and apply to Treasury for the necessary money required to upgrade or at least maintain this local grid. Your assessment of how the municipalities themselves are managing all of this, and what should they be doing better?
Okay, let me explain that point you raised about not applying to Treasury. No. The Treasury is very prudent, very clear as to what assistance they provide, monetary assistance, to the various metros, municipalities, and any government department. But in terms of the metros and municipalities, Treasury provides what we call an equitable share to each metro and munich, and that's based on revenue collections and the debt equity ratio, etc.
Yes.
So if the revenues are not collected and collections are not there, and probably the debt balance is poor, then the equitable share you get from Treasury, it also decreases.
Mm-hmm.
So when that decreases, then you don't have enough funding to provide for your networks. Mm-hmm. And lots of the munics, as you know, the majority are bankrupt. And the munics are currently owing Eskom about 79 billion rand. It's not all their fault. Of course, some of them are delinquent munics. But as explained to you, the municipal operating model, which was designed in 1994, was a user-pay model, meaning that all the operating costs, the capital cost, etc., must come from the collection and the revenue you collect.
Yeah.
Now, South Africa and Africa, we have 95% poor people and 5% rich and middle class. And in Europe and other Western countries, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Yet we've adopted a user pay model, which is a first world Western model.
Mm-hmm.
So that model will work if the user can pay. But with 95% poor people, and noting that the Eskom load shedding has exacerbated the situation, because if the municipalities don't receive electricity or electron from Eskom, they can't sell.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't sell electricity, they can't get revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very debt spiral.
So
that model, user pay model, has to be changed.
Mm.
Otherwise, this situation is going to be exacerbated.
Mm-hmm.
And only government can do that, not Eskom and the municipalities. So that's why I say it's not the total fault of municipalities.
Mm.
Plus, I repeat, the Eskom load shedding from 2008 has made this problem even worse. I mean, the load shedding is known to even messed up the economy for the last many years.
Yeah.
Lots of businesses have shut down, job losses, people can't pay. So there's a macro issue here, Pamela.
Mm-hmm. The recent calls by NERSA and others to increase the amount of energy provided to indigent families, when already we are struggling to provide energy and electricity, will that be sustainable?
Well, you know, just to take a step back, there's also a social wage, you know, where to try and assist the indigent, and the rules for how we define that.
Mm-hmm.
But given that that the Eskom prices have gone through the roof. I mean, 500% in 5 years, gone through the roof. Plus, the Munich have to add their margin to it. And so the social wage that the poor folk needs to get is wiped out. So they can't pay for that. I would argue now, people have left the grid. Not gone to solar and wind. They left to the grid and gone back to the old traditional ways of heating and getting power. So that model has to change. And also one more point, Pamela, which is very critical. I would argue that most of the municipalities are actually virtual resellers of Eskom, meaning that if you look at a typical Metro Munich income statement, I would argue 75% to 90% of that income statement it goes towards paying for Eskom's cost of sales, electricity. So the municipalities generally are left with what? 25 to 10% to run their business, fund the skilled level, etc. This is unsustainable, right? So that's why I say the municipalities are bankrupt. They are in a debt spiral. Same with Eskom. So the model has to change. That's the problem statement. It has to change urgently.
In the meantime, do you think interventions like managing, you know, stolen electricity are things that are going to be, first of all, managed and manageable, and whether they will assist with the current problem?
Just repeat that.
I was saying, in the meantime, what we're hearing, and maybe this is not really a big problem, but you're going to have to explain that to us. City Power keeps telling us that we have a lot of the electricity that's been stolen, because we are having a lot of these stolen cables and connectivities that are happening in informal settlements. If that is true, if City Power were able to manage that stolen electricity, would that assist the grid?
Yes. I mean, it's not a City Power problem. The theft and vandalism is the cancer of the industry. Pamela, some of the municipalities, some of the major metros are experiencing like 30% loss to the bottom line. You know, in a private sector, 30% loss to the private to the bottom line, you go bankrupt. Yet a number of the Munich and metros are reflecting that. Theft and vandalism is a significant. It erodes your bottom line. And when you have theft and vandalism, you're actually robbing from the poor people because somebody has to pay for that, right? So theft and vandalism, I didn't talk much about it, but I've been in this game for about 40 years. And for 40 years, we've been trying it at national level, even bringing in SAPs, the military, etc., technology. Yet people become more and more innovative. And it's a circle because people are hungry, they're unemployed, and electricity underpins all sectors of the economy, and they tend to steal. So, But it's also a global problem.
Yes.
I mean, theft and vandalism is a global problem. So what we call non-technical losses is a significant erosion of revenue and contribution to the economy, Pamela.
In the short and medium term, what needs to happen?
Short to medium term, at least we are addressing the national load shedding. So hopefully this plus or minus 75 days, we can sustain it even through winter. But bottom line, we need to get some electrons flowing through the grid nationally and locally. The bottom line is that, albeit, you know, although we talk about limping coal-fired power stations, we got to also talk about, in some cases, the limping grid. And bear in mind, there's also another problem. You know, Pamela, if we get all the electrons available tomorrow, 8,000, 10,000 megawatts.
We can't
use it because the grid is congested. I call it a constipated grid.
You
can't evacuate it. So in the short term, you've got to keep the electron flow. The private sector must play a bigger role, but a prudent role, so that they don't take over the market at the expense of the Munich and Eskom. But government has to step in. Has to step in and look at the model again. And that could be done rather sooner than later. Otherwise, this problem is going to exacerbate, and it may lead to the grid collapsing because lack of investments, all of that, is eventually going to compromise the grid, local and national.
Just elaborate on that. You said government, you said that the private sector needs to take a bigger role. What do you mean by that?
I think gone are the days where we've always, as utilities, I come from there, I come from Eskom and I come from the Munich sector. We've always, through the system of government, monopolized the grid. We never brought in the private sector. Now, with the Eskom and with the crisis situation that's opened and so on. But we must be very careful that in South Africa and in Africa, we have also poor people. The private sector, when they play an important part, they got to play an important part. They have one mandate. They want to make profits, maximize profits, and they're ruthless at this. So what needs to happen in South Africa and Africa, the government, and I'm saying better performing governments, our previous government hasn't performed well in the energy sector, better performing governments need to take the lead so that going forward, in my opinion, both Eskom and the municipality will continue to own the national grid, right? The private sector, because they have the balance sheet, they have the income statements, will play a prudent, fit-for-purpose role in bringing on the electrons on the grid. So they will use the grid and bring in other ancillary services for which the municipality that Eskom will charge a fee, a service fee. That, for me, Pamela, it will be the basis or fundamental of underpinning a survival model for both Eskom and the municipalities while the private sector is taken on as an excellent partner in this process.
Bali Padiachi, appreciate your time there, former City Power senior executive, and just making it all clear for us, making us understand better what exactly is going on. I don't know, I must say, I'm not sure I'm very optimistic. I think it's a lot that has to be done. Obviously, we have a new administration coming. Maybe things will change a little bit. But look, what we are facing right now is very localized, right? So, and from what we're hearing, it doesn't seem like there's much movement, room for the city to move. I mean, it's difficult. This infrastructure has been compromised quite a bit since Eskom's load shedding. As you can hear, theft and vandalism, a big, big issue. You and I not being able to pay for our electricity, impacting the city to pay its bills to Eskom. If it can't pay its bills to Eskom. So it's a never-ending cycle. So thanks very much for your take there, Vali Padiachi, former City Power senior executive. It's 9 o'clock.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.